The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Tim Farnham is an anesthesiologist and dad of five who is pushing his state, Colorado, to put an age restriction on phones.
Okay, like
on smartphones.
Minimum or maximum? What would
minimum?
Okay.
So you wouldn't be able to sell under this proposal smartphones to kids under the age of 13.
Here's the thing with that. My son, if you see him right there, 7 years old. Yesterday he asked me, can I have a phone?
And he doesn't want it because he wants to start calling people.
No.
He doesn't want to text people.
He wants it because there's games in there.
It's an Xbox.
Yes.
It's Sega. It's
yes.
Whatever. It's
exactly.
A Nintendo for him. That's what it is. Under his proposal in Colorado, and this is a ballot initiative, selling a smartphone to a preteen or younger would incur a written warning. A second offense would be met with a $500 fine, and each future incident would result in a fine doubling each time.
So now we have cops monitoring this?
Yep.
Hmm.
So you have to ask yourself, why?
Yeah, I don't get it.
What's the point?
So is it okay for the under 13-year-old kid to play Xbox, PlayStation 4?
Yes.
But it's not okay for them to have a smartphone?
Apparently not, no.
Is it because...
Well, Farnham, this anesthesiologist, said he was inspired to do this because he noticed his kids, remember he's a dad of five, becoming moody and quiet and reclusive.
Here's the thing. Has he talked to his kids?
Does he talk to kids 20 years ago?
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, in the 80s, I didn't have no smartphone. And guess what? I was moody and quiet and reclusive at times.
Especially when you hit that pre-teenage where like dad is no longer cool. Mom is disgusting. Mom, don't give me a kiss. That's gross in front of my friends.
Yeah, it's not the smartphone that's making kids moody and reclusive.
It's the hormones.
It's the hormones. It's kids. This is like Thomas Jefferson going, I'm taking away the telegraph for my children because they've become moody and reclusive. What with all of the reclusive they've become. What?
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense. It's called parenting, first of all. Abdicating your authority to the government is a fail. And number two, proper parenting doesn't just put restrictions on the phones. It teaches your kids while you're using the phones or whatever about life and how to apply that information in technology. Huge fail.
Well, here's the thing. This is coming from people that think the government's parents. So I can see why he's like, you know what? We need a government something to fix this.
Lex Jurgen is author of Man Rules, The Beginner's Guide to Manhood, 99 Real Rules for Remasculating the Millennial Male. How are you, Lex?
I'm doing great, guys. Let me just tell you right now, if I was an anesthesiologist and my kids got on the line, propofol.
They have plenty of weapons at their disposal, don't
exactly.
They?
Exactly. You knock them right out and wake up 2 days later, they're all better.
Lex, come on. An age limit on cell phones? This is way overreacting.
You know, that ballot initiative for parents sounds like it's a written ballot initiative for, you know, how you raise your kids. You know, now they're talking to the parents like they're kids. It's just crazy. That's one of the reasons I wrote this book. Adults can't be adults anymore, and kids can't, you know, grow up the old-fashioned way, which is your parents make rules for you, and you follow the rules, or you take a whack every now and then.
Lex, were you ever moody as a teenager? Were you ever reclusive?
I'm still moody and reclusive. That's right. The natural state of man.
Right, that's part of it, right? And as a parent, do you have kids?
I have kids, and if they get happy, I get nervous.
You're like, wait a minute, you're up to something.
Yeah.
If you're ticked off at me, you don't like me, I know something good's happening.
Yeah, they tell you, you know, the only thing you got to be worried about is when your kids are quiet. That's the only thing you got to worry about. When they're yelling and screaming, that's good. You know it's healthy. I come from a large family. Yelling and screaming is the norm.
Why are we trying to take all of this away? It's we're trying to regulate. Ironically, these very emotional people are trying to regulate away any natural feelings, anger, frustration, those things, failure. Those are all good things if you apply it right.
Yeah, and I think it's a. I mean, honestly, I think it's a parent's role to make those decisions for their kids. We don't allow our kids to play video games. I tell my kids, you want to play video games? Go to your friend's house and play violent video games. That's the place to do it.
Right. Well, I don't want that at our house.
Yeah,
go
so
over their house.
Out of the house. You want to go see a dirty movie? You go to your friend's house.
Right. That's the tip, or like that's part of the game you play here. As a parent, you know, and as a kid, maybe I kind of knew this too, but as a parent, you know, kids are going to do certain things. And you can't control everything they do. They are going to do some things you don't like, some maybe even some illegal, certainly some immoral things. You set a bar, you don't accept it. You try to clean up and help them clean up messes, but you look the other way on some of this stuff, knowing, you know, choosing your battles, I guess you'd say.
Right. And if you remember, if you recall from your own childhood way back when, the best lessons you learn are when you make huge mistakes. You get make a mistake, you learn from it, you get punished, you suffer consequences, and then you don't do it again. And if you take that consequence away and the you know, the whole punishment and the learning lesson, you never learn. You keep repeating your same mistakes.
You know, you had a great line with the remasculating the millennial male as part of the title of your book, because I see that as one of the biggest fallouts. First of all, men are under constant attack anyways. But the millennial male, I look at some of the millennials that are male around our office here, and they are really emasculated. That's the best way to describe it. I mean, they so don't want to be that, but they don't know how not to be.
I try not to blame the guys for being the snowflakes that they are.
No, I don't blame them at all. I feel bad for them.
It's the way they were raised. I said, when you're a kid, if you're coaching, throw a ball at your head, you've already lost half the battle. It's not just, I mean, they're really, these kids grew up, and I know because I know the age of these kids now, they grew up really without any sort of, older man, you know, just give them a good whack every now and then. It could be a verbal whack, a physical whack, whatever, on the backside, or just a coach with a bat, making sure you wore your cup to practice that day.
my dad, although a very smart guy, almost, Renaissance type man, he'd art and all this different stuff, very smart. He also had one part Red Foreman from that 70s show where he was like, dumbass.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Someone tell you that, there's parts of you that stink, you know, part of you that isn't great, part of you needs work. You know, parents are afraid to tell their kids they need to work on things now. And these kids grew up thinking everything's perfect, and they get to the real world, you know, they get into their 20s, and their boss tells them, hey, you didn't do a good job, and they look at them like, what do you mean I didn't do a good job? That's not possible.
I look at some of the millennials, and I can think of a couple in particular where I'll go through the office, and I'll make a comment like, and it's just joking around. I'll make a comment about my wife being a bad driver because she's Asian. I'll make a joke like that, and there's this uncomfortable laughter, like they think it's funny. They're like, oh my gosh, but I don't know, am I allowed to laugh at this? And then there's this little twinkle in their eye, Lex, almost like the Doctor a Strange movie. Teach me, set me free.
In half a second, they could be lighting candles and marching around your office and protest. You got to be careful.
Right.
Those kids love to protest. Half the time, they don't believe what they're protesting, but they love to protest.
You're right about that. They don't know why they're so pissed off, but they're pissed.
Yeah, check their Facebook accounts. They're probably talking about you. They're calling you a caveman, and they're complaining about horrible bosses.
Right. Now I see a lot of the younger males though. They so want it. In fact, I had an opportunity to kind of teach seminar about broadcasting and whatever to some high school students just a couple of months ago. Some ones that are 16, 17, 18. And I started talking about political correctness. I got kind of down this rabbit hole about, you know, some of the challenges they face. And when I mentioned political correctness, I saw them all kind of lean in and they're, huh? And I was like, okay, here it comes. Here comes the rebuking. So I just went full bore and I speechified for about a minute and a half on how wrong it was. And they cheered. They said,
really?
They're like, yes.
They want to be free.
But it's the next generation, Lex. It's the ones after the millennials. And it's not the millennials' fault. They want out. They just don't know how. This generation, the pendulum is swinging back hard. They're like, the hell with this.
I think so. I mean, one thing you can't deny is nature, and you know there is a male gender, believe it or not, and you can't. It has, you know, evolution takes eons and eons to change. It doesn't happen in 10 years, 20 years. So the same instinct, you know, you and I were raised with, the boys have today too, and you know, culture can only stop so much, and ballot initiatives in Colorado can only stop so much. You can only stop human nature so much, and it's coming. It's coming.
So give me some of the 99 rules for remasculating the millennial male. Give me some things you suggest, some solutions to the problems.
Really, honestly, I mean, this is not about everyone goes, oh, you want men to be like they're cavemen. No, not cavemen. These men like 20 years ago, you know, as radical as that sounds. And I think a lot of it is about, you know, just being guys being independent again, wanting to be strong and independent and chivalrous as well. That's gone by the wayside as well. You know, like, I'll tell you what men do a lot today. They cry a lot. Men cry a lot today. They cry at TV shows, they cry at movies, they cry, they share their photos on social media and talk about crying. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a, you know, I say a man's allowed to cry when his child is born. Mm-hmm. Or when something hits him in the nuts.
Okay. That's it, huh?
That's the only time it works, you know. And also things like women used to talk about, men talk about now. I mean, you know, it's like the weather. Men have a fear of the weather. Like, it's going to rain. They have to discuss what's going to happen if it rains. It's been raining for 10 million years. What are you going to do anything different than your ancestors did when it rained? You get your head out of the rain, dumbass.
Right. What's going to happen, right?
Yes. And also, you guys were talking last week, I know, about bromances.
Yeah.
About men who have bromances. Men these days have trouble distinguishing between their male friends and their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice the millennial males, they do things with their guy friends they used to do with their girlfriends, and I don't mean sexually, but I mean they don't know like what events or what venues or what things to do with guys versus girls.
Like, let's go buy a pair of pants, Lex. I got to go down to Kmart and buy some pants today.
Yeah, let's go shopping together.
Wait, what?
When are men to go shopping together?
Mm-hmm.
Men are hunters. You only share hunting with another man when you need to trap something. You don't need to trap a pair of sneakers. Go. How do these jeans look on me? I heard a guy say that to another guy recently. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not looking at your butt.
Even with the invitation.
Yes, exactly.
My wife.
Now you've asked my permission, so I don't have to file assault charges.
A couple years ago, my wife says to me something about. She goes, hey, what happened to so-and-so? I heard his wife was in the hospital or whatever. I go, oh, she's doing okay. And she goes, well, like, give me the details. And I go, I just told you she's okay. She goes, didn't you talk about it? I said, yeah. I asked how she was. And he said, she's okay. And I was like, what more do you want from me? I'm like, this is how guys, like Lex, you and I are friends. We go out and you go, oh, man, I heard about you. You're going through the divorce. You know, how you doing? And I go, ah, it sucks, man. You know, effing bitch, or this happened, and I'm not going to see my kids. And you go, wow, that sucks. And then we order a beer, and we talk about the new X-Men movie.
Yes, right?
That's how you go, Lex, that's horrible, man. That sucks. And we get on with it. That's it.
Yes. And I don't know if you've noticed this. You go out with some of these younger guys now, and you go out for a beer or for a meal, and they ask you what you're having before they decide what to order. Like, what are you guys having? You know what they're having? We know what they're having? They're having your lady. That's what they're having. indecisive male that can't order food for his mouth unless he knows what his friends are ordering first.
Well, I was thinking, is it okay if I order the white Zin? I don't know what he's going to say.
Are you going to have the grilled cheese? Because I don't know. I get gas.
That's a really good. So it's not the caveman you want. It's the modern caveman 20 years ago.
It's just your, I call, we went from the greatest generation, the snowflake generation. People say that. I always say, think about your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Be like your grandfather. He was not, the whole idea, I think the reason we're emasculating males so much and there's such an attack on men is because, you know, there's some male traits that need to modernize over the last 60, 70 years. For sure there were. You know, times have changed. There's some modernization need to occur. But they've completely thrown the baby out with the bathwater. It's like to get rid of some of these, few male traits, let's get rid of all male traits. If men don't exist, then we don't have to worry about the bad traits, you know, some of the bad traits of men. And so everyone just sort of, men, just, you know, you guys just sort of accepted this fact that we're going to have a unisex, and we're not going to be guys anymore. We're going to be just genderless because our ancestors did some things that guys shouldn't, you know, that were rude or crass or did, you know, snap towels on each other in the locker room. That needs to stop. So they got rid of all the good stuff, which is chivalry and hard work and ambition and dedication and taking care of your, even taking care of your family, which we all agree is, and your children is all a great thing. But that's a lot of that good stuff has fallen by the wayside now that men are no longer expected to be like men.
Lex, what's your, how can people reach you on social media?
You can reach me on Last Men on Earth.
Okay.
Which is the podcast name on, Facebook, or they can get the book on Man Rules on Amazon, and I suggest it, they get it for everybody they know under the age of 30, assuming they still read.
Lex Jurgen, author of Man Rules, The Beginner's Guide to Manhood, 99 Rules for Remasculating the Millennial Male. Thanks, Lex. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Doc. I got it.
We'll tweet out a link to it. This is The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
Solid on that stuff. Such an interesting topic that we don't cover nearly enough. It's not just millennials. It's just the emasculation of males in general. Donna tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. Re-emasculating or remasculating millennial males starts with re-feminizing women. Just saying. It's a good point. I think there's more of a emasculating women than an effeminating or emasculating men than effeminating women. Because women, it's almost an empowerment thing. You can be anything you want, women. Sure, you can be the woman who stays home in a traditional role, is a feminine. Or you can also be the hardworking, truck-driving, steel-hauling woman, joins the service, has anything a man could do. Okay, I agree with that. But men, you cannot be the traditional male. You must be just the new sensitive, caring, cries at everything male. The one who goes shopping with his buddies for pants. Right? If you're a stereotypical male, if you do things that are stereotypical, negatively stereotypical, you know, letting fly the dirty jokes, the sounds emanating from various parts of your body at inappropriate times, these things, right? You're a clod. You're a Neanderthal. You're a caveman. But if you're a woman who acts in a stereotypical way, change your mind, you're a little emotional, whatever, that's a woman's prerogative. They sing songs about it. They write movies and Broadway shows about how wonderful it is. But not men. And you know what? Donna brings up a good part about re-feminizing women. Because I look around the office and think there's some women that could probably use re-feminized. Sarah. What's that? No. No, nothing. Nothing. Rants out loud. Hashtag what I learned today. Kids can virtually mow down combatants and steal vehicles on video games, but we need an age restriction on smartphone sales. Yeah. What's the problem with the smart... If kids are on smartphones like that much, what's the problem with it? That they're doing these bad things on video games? Or it's just too much time? They're spending too much time and that's bad. They're not in the real world. Well, if they don't have the smartphones, they'll just do it on a computer, on the video games, or virtual reality that's coming. At best, you're treating one of the minor symptoms and certainly not the disease. Let's see. Steve Sexton, hashtag what I learned today. At Doc Thompson Show. Hey, I used to shop with my buddies because we did it at the mall where the girls were. No. You were going to the mall with your buddies. You weren't shopping with your buddies. You were going to stores. You might even said you were going shopping. You were not actually going shopping. You were going looking. I did the same thing. How many times did you actually buy that new pair of chinos with your buddies? How many times when you were at the mall checking out the girls did you go, oh, finally, the belt I've been looking for. It matches that pair of shoes I have. I haven't been able to find it until now. Yeah, you were macking on the girls. Amanda tweeting, our kibosh didn't work either, so now I have to miss the last hour of TMB to go have a baby. Amanda, congratulations. Yeah, the kibosh doesn't work. We figured that one out. But congratulations.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
It's at Doc Thompson Show on Twitter, at Real Chris Cruz, at The Blaze Brad, at Cal79, who is off today. I thought he was supposed to be off Friday and Monday, but then all of a sudden he ends up off today, so I don't know if he's sick or what. But get the tweets in with the hashtag What I Learned Today. Let's see here. Zach tweeting, it's called the mall because instead of going to one store, you go to them all. He did there with the words together there, the mall. Okay, let's see here. Big Daddy-O. Yo, at Doc Thompson Show, there is a manly song. I'm a lumberjack song. Yes, I'm familiar with the lumberjack song. I need more lumberjack attitude. Let's see here. Hashtag what I learned today from TMB listener 3.14159. I drive in the slow lane and apparently it's still not fast enough for some. Yes, I'm with you there. It's still not fast enough. Even driving in the slow lane, it's not fast enough. But I will give you the slow lane as long as it's the slow lane. Just so you know, it's the one on the right. Move over. It's the one. It's actually the driving lane. The other one's the passing lane. That's how that whole thing is supposed to work there. Apparently you're not getting it. All right, get this in right now.
The entrepreneurial spirit is to dream and to do. We are Building America.
Dan McDonough Jr. joining us now. How are you, Dan?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Make sure you get your company right. Elowit?
You got it.
Elowit.
Well done.
What does Elowit do?
Well, Elowit's a customer experience company. Okay. We're involved in telecommunications, but at the end of the day, everybody has such a horrible experience often with their internet provider that we decided to build an internet provider around a customer experience company.
Wow, that's an interesting way to put it, and that's not just from some of my experiences recently. That sounds like something that people would just say is a clever marketing thing. It's customers. But when you really mean something like that, the company is very different than other companies.
Oh, I completely agree. I think it's critical that it be part of the culture, part of what everybody stands for. It's about empowering every employee to be able to do what's right to create that experience. Otherwise, you're right. It's just a marketing slogan.
I have talked to several people recently, authors of books, who keep talking about the new age of business. It's very different. No longer do we used to create a problem, sometimes problems that didn't exist in marketing. We would say, does this happen to you? Halitosis, bad breath. And then you fix it with this product and whatever. And you were really casting this wide net, hoping to grab some of the fish, you know, hoping some people buy into it. But now the successful companies, the ones that are building these successful brands, are ones that really focus in on solving a problem, or better explained, making people's lives better.
Yeah, I agree. And I think solving a problem in the past used to mean finding a specific challenge that somebody had and solving that problem. Whereas today, the problem could just be the experience that you have with the company that already provides you. And if you can engineer a different way to interact with your customers, that makes the difference. And that gives them an experience that they appreciate and frankly would pay more for.
And that's always evolving too, what their experiences are and what their needs are.
Correct. I agree.
So what do you guys do differently? How do you approach your customers differently to create that experience?
I think there's two aspects of it. One is just sort of our philosophy, and two is just the way that we actually do business. And I'll start with two. In that respect, we don't provide our services to single family homes. And I think that's what helps a lot with businesses is when they can identify a niche. Our customers are people who own big buildings. So student living, senior housing, apartments, condos, that kind of thing. So it gives us the ability to deliver in a bulk sort of format where we're delivering this experience to everyone in that building. And that gives us some efficiencies. And where those efficiencies come in is where we can kind of change the experience. On the philosophy side, I think at one point we just looked and saw that there's this huge discrepancy between a hotel on one end of a block and a hotel on another end of a block in terms of what they can charge. And really what it comes down to is a bed, someplace to sleep for the night. But the Ritz-Carlton can get a lot more than a motel. And the reason why is because of experience. And we want to differentiate ourselves in that regard and create an experience that people would pay for, cherish, and talk about in a positive way.
So because of these innovations, are you able to do it either cheaper or provide more services for the same amount or both?
Or both, you know, and I think that's also been a piece of our success is that we can create an experience around what our customers want for their residents. In some cases, it may go over the top. And in others, it may just be a robust service with somebody on the other end of the phone if you want to talk to them. And that sort of nimble behavior on our part has enabled us to sit at tables that we otherwise wouldn't be invited to.
Now, you're somebody that's been involved in you've had other businesses, right?
Certainly, yep.
So
I started in the newspaper space, in fact. So.
Well, it's a good thing you got out of that. right. That's evolved just
a
little bit.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. In small communities, the small community newspapers are still doing very well. It's the regional dailies that are getting a lot of trouble with the way that the economy's changed. But if you want to reach a little town, sometimes that town's newspaper and their digital options are still the best way to do it.
That's interesting you say that. And I don't think most people realize that. You're right. In the grand scale, things have changed like that for newspapers. But in local communities, people still want, whether it's newspaper or other services, they still want a way to connect locally to find out what their neighbors are doing.
Well, you said the magic word, too, connection. That's what I think human experience is all about. And I think to a degree, every successful business right now is doing that. Even if you look at things like Uber, it's about connecting a need with the supply. And the people who do that better and more efficiently will always win. And I think in a small community, that's still through a newspaper that's mailed to everybody every week. So
tell me about the entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, you're somebody who obviously embodies that. I have boiled it down to dreaming big and then doing. Dreaming and doing. A lot of people dream, not a lot of them do.
Yeah, they say in venture capital that the investments that get prioritized are the ones that have entrepreneurs that can execute. Because a great idea poorly executed goes nowhere, but even mediocre idea well executed could be successful. So doing, I think, is the biggest part. Everybody dreams. You could ask anyone what's your dream, and they have one. But there's a difference between the people who dream it and the people who do it. They're risk takers. They're people who are not satisfied with the status quo. And it's not all about glory or fame. It's about trying to build something. Tinkerers, I guess, in a way.
You know,
but the people who do are the ones that make it.
I think you're right. And it's not just, I mean, people think entrepreneurs are monetarily driven, and some are, some maybe, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's something else. And Dan, correct me if you think I'm wrong here. I think it's people who are driven to just see something accomplished. And I was thinking about this last night. I want to see positive change, like even in my company here. And I see stuff and I'm impatient and I say, why can't we go and change this? How come that wall's still there? Why haven't we changed this? We can go and do this. And I'm obsessed with putting things together and wanting to see them how they should be. Do you think that's the kind of attitude?
I think you're right. I think, and I'll expand on that too, because I think a lot of times anyone who gets into the entrepreneurial spirit for monetary reasons will be certainly let down, at least for a few years, because it takes a while to make something happen. So you have to be somebody who wants to see change. In most cases, that's positive, but, you know, economically, people who seek negative change can be successful, too. But fundamentally, I think at somebody's core. They have to be somebody who's willing to take a risk to see a change happen and actually build something. And that's what separates folks who have a dream and those who actually go execute on a dream.
How can people find out more about Elewit?
Well, our website, elewit.com. And if you are somebody who's responsible for internet access in big buildings, apartments, condos, or that sort of thing, it's a great place to start to get to know us. And we'd love to chat with anyone who we could be of service.
What we'll do is we'll tweet out a link to the information too, because if you're the type of person and you're the company that can do things differently, that's what our audience is looking for. They're looking for solutions and again to make their lives better. So hopefully people will check it out, and we'll tweet out a link to it, Dan.
That's perfect.
Hi, Dan. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you joining us. Dan McDonough Jr. from Elewit. It's ELAUWIT. ELAUWIT. At the Blaze, Carrie is stopped in as well.
Hello.
What do you think?
I think it's cool. You're right. The mindset is different for a true entrepreneur. It's not necessarily for the money, but it's to see things differently, to come up with solutions.
And that doesn't mean, hey, let's go start a Fortune 500 company.
Right.
It could be on the small scale. You could just be somebody that's driven to see this one thing done in your town, in right. your house.
It's creative solutions right. for a specific need.
Do you remember the book? I think it was called The Secret or something. Oprah pushed like 10 years ago. And it was like, I think it was called The Secret. It was, you know, how to succeed and make $1 billion or whatever it was. Okay. And it was based on another book. But the whole thing came down to...
I always go to Oprah for
all of your book suggestions. Yes, she has the best ones. Absolutely. But it was got this big buzz. And the bottom, I'll tell you what the secret was. Basically, mm-hmm. I'll boil it down for you. Obsess. Obsess about something good. So mm-hmm. you're like, I can build this company, or I can get this park built in my town, or I can, whatever it is you want. You've got to eat, sleep, breathe it. You don't take time off to go to the party. When you go to bed at night, you're thinking about it, as in a good way. You're like, I can do this. And while you're doing your job that you have to do, the manual labor thing or whatever, you're thinking about how to do it. That's the key.
I think that there are certain people who just have that. Thank you. And there are other people.
You're talking about me, right? Perhaps we just move on. At the Blaze Carry on Twitter. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory that's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. If you have trouble with chronic pain or you know somebody, please direct them or go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory. It gets rid of the inflammation and thereby gets rid of the chronic pain. It's only $19.95 for a 3-week quick start pack. Again, 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned that I keep trying to get out of the hopelessness of modern America, but they keep pulling me back in.
Yeah.
We learned that putting your socks on is so difficult and painful.
You need a sock slider.
We learned apparently chocolate milk doesn't come from brown cows, and Cadbury eggs don't come from chocolate chickens.
Are you sure?
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
We learned that ugly is a very effective birth control method. It really is incredibly effective. It's worked for millennia. We learned coming soon to the internet, Doc Thompson's arm stretcher, just $19.95. It helps you put on your socks and clip your toenails without that searing pain. See, if you stretch your arms, Carrie, you don't have to bend down. It's so difficult to bend down.
Did you notice that the younger lady in that commercial looked like she had just been to the gym?
I know. I got back from the gym and now I can't bend over. Wait a minute, that sounded bad.
Yes.
Edit that out.
Okay.
I just got back from New Smyrna Beach and now I can't bend over. Edit that out.
At the Blaze, Carrie, what did you learn as you casually stopped in this morning?
Yes, I actually learned that the sock slider?
Sock slider.
The sock slider is actually the perfect gift for the person who wants sock slippage during the day because that thing it's
stretching out
your
the socks.
Sock. That's really disturbing.
If you want your socks to end up in your shoes all day, get sock slider. Chris, I got to remember. Kirk.
Yeah.
Come in, Kirk. At Kirk. Spin of the Dials radio style. It's not at Kirk.
No.
No, it's not at Kirk.
Do we have a Twitter account?
We do have a Twitter account for Kirk, but he's one of those guys that makes no sense. Right?
Okay, then forget about it. Yeah, Kirk, right. Spin of the Dials, radio style, Dallas, Texas morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
After seeing the sock slider, I think I'm going to turn into Johnny Appleseed and just go barefoot everywhere now.
Oh, because, good idea. Yeah, then you don't have to buy it and you don't have to worry about socks.
Yeah. Yep.
Tired of going barefoot? Searing back pain? Ah!
Johnny Appleseed.
At Real Chris Cruz on Twitter, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
You got TMB listener 867-5309.
Nice.
Super Volcano and the Y2K scare, same thing. Amanda tweeting out, our kibosh didn't work either, so now I have to miss the last hour of the Morning Blaze and go have a baby.
I love how she took time out of, you know, delivery to tweet,
like,
to you guys.
Okay. Wait a minute. I got the stuff in the car. The bassinet's home for when we get back.
Did
I called the doctor.
The
I'm on my way.
You got the playlist,
I got the playlist. Oh, I listened to the Morning Blaze. I tweeted out about that I can't listen to the last hour.
And Amanda, let me go have a baby.
You are very dedicated. I'm impressed.
God bless you, Amanda. Good for you.
Blah, blah, blah.
Love the blah, blah, blah.
Artificial intelligence will spawn new jobs. Even George Jetson still has a job at Coswell Cogs.
That's right. With all those cogs that exist in the future.
Lots and of cogs.
All right. Remember, I need to get those new numbers on procrastination.
I just about to hit him.
Okay. What are we going to do tomorrow?
Chef Patrick. He's come back.
Oh, good deal. He's in tomorrow.
He's in?
Yeah, I think so.
In studio?
What is he making?
No, he's not in studio. I just want to get Carrie excited. What does Glenn Beck have coming
top
up on his program?
Top of hour three, Stephen Coulier.
Okay. Mm. What is he wearing today?
Purple bomber jacket.
Oh, wow. Is it like a
not
Prince
a
thing?
Look.
Yeah.
Interesting. Remember the Morning Blaze today, Chris Cruz production, Six Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anya, now. You go home.
It's really shiny.
What's with the boa? That doesn't work.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.